Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Proverbs, chapter 22. We'll read verses 1 through 4 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs, chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. Proverbs 22, verses 1 through 4. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you do for us here. Lord, your presence is so obvious here. Lord, that's not because of a building, not because of a piece of property, but because of your people who are faithful to you. And Father, thank you for a man of God that is faithful to you. The Holy Spirit of God, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts. Change our lives so we can help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I want to thank you for being at church this evening, and I mean this. I'm honored that you're here. I've never understood something. My wife is a very good cook, and when I go and compliment her and I say, "Honey, that was really good," she's very, very honored by that. It's never made sense to me. But you know, when people come to hear the preaching in the church, I'm very honored at your presence. I really am. And as a result of that, I want to make sure, I think you came to be fed. I think you came to get something. And I never want anyone to go with their spiritual stomach empty. I'd like you to be able to leave here and say, that was nutritious, that's going to help me, and that's going to meet a need. That'll give me the energy and the spiritual nutrients that I need to make it through another day, another week. And so I'm honored that you're here tonight. I want to talk to you about a very simple thing this evening. I want to talk to you about our finances. Not church finances, but personal finances. I just threw a real quick title on the sermon. It's called Practical Money Guidelines. A moment ago, we read some scripture. Now, let me tell you the reason why I'm going to preach this evening. I counsel our people. People come and see me. They come to get advice. I'm probably counseling about finances. If 10 people come see me in a day, probably 5 or 6 of those are about finances. So 50 to 60% of my counseling in recent months has been about finances. So as a result of that, it makes sense to me that I come and I try to help us all. Because those that come to see me are merely a cross-section of our people in our church. Meaning that there are others. There are some of you. You've not come to talk to me about this, but you probably would like to. And so maybe I can help you a little bit with it. Here in Proverbs chapter 22, I'm going to read to you again the four verses that we read earlier. It says this. It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Speaking of finances there. Now, let me tell you a bit of what the Lord just said to us. He said here in Proverbs 22:1, he's saying, having a little money with a godly, honest reputation is better than having great riches. And there's a bit of an assumption here that he's expecting us to notice, but he's talking about having great riches but not having that honest reputation. We sometimes make more out of money than what we should. So the Lord's saying, you're better off with a little money but having a good, honest reputation than having a lot of money and not having that good, honest reputation. He then goes on in the second half of verse number 1, and he talks about being known for being a loving and a good person, having a favorable reputation, that should be chosen over gold and silver. So God is trying to help us to realize that how much money we have, it really is not what is most important, but what is most important is that we're honest and that we have a good, decent reputation, that we're loving and that we have favor, and it's talking about favor with both God and man. Now, some people say to have money, that's evil, because they quote the verse from the New Testament, but they misquote it as if that it is money is the root of all evil. But that's not what the Bible says. It is the love of money that's the root of all evil. Money's not bad. I hate to tell you, we're bad. We're the ones that do bad. That money can't do wrong or do bad. It's what we do with it. Now, to many people, and for many people, finances are tight right now. I know they are with me and probably with many, many of you. It's a little tough right now. Boy, the speculation that gas prices could go up to $4 a gallon, oh my, that's heavy. And when the gas prices go up, then the other prices go up because, of course, you know, items have to be moved from point A to point B. And so if the gas price goes up, then the food prices are going to go up, and then construction prices go up, and so many other things. Now, I want to recommend something to you. Don't panic. Don't panic. God's still alive. And America has seen some tough times before and survived them. Tougher times than these. Far tougher times than these. We're a little spoiled in America. Now, I'm not real happy that the economy is in a slump, but I can promise you, even in a slumped economy, America's in far better shape than most of the rest of the world. Okay? And I don't mean this as a slap to America, but we are a bit spoiled, and you know, us in our worst shape is better than everybody else in their best shape, and so we're still doing okay. But God wants us to be wise, and He wants us to be wise with the money that He gives us. Safe and wise financial practices should be lived both during the good times and the bad. What happens to us, I think, is when the times start getting tough, we start paying a little better attention to our finances. I like to recommend that we just pay real close attention to them all the time. And I'm talking about our personal finances. Now, you're not going to be impressed with what I say this evening, but I want to help you. I really, really want to help you. Please listen to me. Those of you that have been around a while and you're a little more financially secure, you've been wise with your money, you have mercy on me. There are some of us that are not as smart with our money, and I just want to help everybody this evening. So I just call it practical money guidelines. Let me say, first of all, many money problems are actually character problems. Many money problems are actually character problems. Now, not all. There are some people that get thrust into emergencies and they take a good, hard financial hit. But folks, I have to tell you that a lot of our financial problems are personal character problems. We don't do good at controlling ourselves. We do with our money what we want to do instead of what we should do. You hear that? We do with our money what we want to do rather than what we should do. We don't work hard on our finances. Now, let me tell you something. Mrs. Owens and I were able to pay our bills. We don't have a lot of money. But ever since we were a very, very young couple, we worked at paying our bills. But I've got to tell you something. We work at it. I mean, we work at it. We just don't let the finances happen. We work at it. There are times when we sit down and have strenuous conversations and make hard decisions. You see, sometimes I wonder if we in America have been so successful so long and had enough money that we didn't have to worry about it, that we've almost lost our work ethic in regard to our finances. You'll have to work at it. And right now, you may have to work at it a little extra to make it work. There's a certain lack of aggression that I see among people in regard to caring properly for their finances. And what I said is many of our money struggles are almost not money struggles. They're character struggles. We're not honest with ourselves financially. You know how many people just will ignore their financial difficulties, hoping that they're going to go away? Well, just so you know, they won't. They will multiply, and they'll get worse. We procrastinate. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about our character. It is our character. If it's weak, we won't be aggressive. A lack of character will keep us from working at it. A lack of character will keep us from being honest with ourselves. There's a lack of character will cause us to procrastinate and put things off that need to be done a little quicker. Don't procrastinate paying your bills. We don't require ourselves to do that which is hard. And so I say to you, number one, part of our problem with our finances is that we're not applying our character. We don't see it as a character issue. And I'll tell you again, you've got to require yourself to do that which is hard. You've got to require that. If you want to have success in your finances, whether you make a lot of money or a little money, it's going to take some character to handle that money properly. So, point number one is, many money problems are actually character problems. Number two, I want to recommend to you that you stay faithful to God financially. Stay faithful to God financially. And God knows my heart. I cross my heart. I'm not trying to get money for the church. Now, you have to understand, I'm not the one that dreamed up the thing called the tithe. God dreamed that up. But I didn't dream it up. But I'm just telling you, folks, you need to be faithful to God. You need to be faithful to God. Don't rob God. See, God is not obligated to bless those who rob Him. But you know, God promised us that if we'd be faithful to Him, that He would bless us. See, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He also owns the hills. And I'll tell you something. In tough times, don't steal from the one that provides everything that you have. Boy, that would be the wrong thing to do. You cannot afford not to tithe. Let me say it again. You cannot afford not to tithe. And I'm not trying to be threatening. I'm really not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. You need to be faithful to God financially. I'm not trying to raise money for my church. You know, people get that thing, he's nothing but a money-grabbing preacher. Well, how much money you give in the offering does not determine how much money I make. My income, my personal income is not fluctuating because I can get more money out of you. I'm trying to say to a group of people that I love, don't rob God. It's not a good relationship between you and your Maker. I'm not worried about the relationship between you and me. I'll love you whether you tithe or not. God is not obligated to bless you if you're robbing Him of what is rightfully His. So I said, number one, many of our money problems are character problems. Number two, don't rob God. Which, let me remind you, if you're robbing God, that's a character problem. That's a character problem. Number three, learn the difference between your wants and your needs. We've got to learn it. You've got to learn the difference between what you want and what you need. You need clothes, but you don't have to have new clothes all the time, and you don't have to have designer clothes. Yes, you need clothes. But you don't have to have, sometimes we want something, but we don't need that something. We've got to learn the difference. This is a character issue once again. It's a character issue. You need shelter from the elements, but you don't have to have a mansion. You need food. You don't need lobster and steak and caviar. I can't imagine anybody needing or even wanting caviar. But you do need food. Some of us don't need as much of it as what we have. Now, you can save money by being honest with yourself about food. You need a coat to keep yourself warm, but you don't need mink. You don't need fox. I would say in our society, you pretty well need a car today, but you don't have to have three or four of them. Sometimes you don't have to have two. You definitely don't need a Bentley. You might be able to do it on an average car that gets good gas mileage. And some of you are saying, yeah, I wish mine got better gas mileage right now. I understand that. You say, would I want to live the American financial dream? Most people are in the American financial nightmare. And I don't say this to attack anybody. I say it because I want to help you. You see, number one, many money problems are actually character problems. Number two, we've got to be faithful to God with our commitments to God financially, with our tithes and offerings. Number three, learn the difference between your wants and your needs. That kind of boils down to covetousness. We've got to learn the difference. And some of you have yourself convinced there are things that to me, I would say those are wants, and you have deemed them as needs, which means that some of you got to convince yourself that you're living higher on the hog than what you should. You just got yourself convinced you've got to have that. There are others that are doing without it, and they're happy. And you could adjust your emotions so you could adjust your finances if you just allow it to happen. You don't have to have everything that you think that you have to have. And for some of you, I really hope that God doesn't require you to learn that lesson. Because He has a way to take other things that you think you just have to have and show you that you can live without them. So, learn the difference between wants and needs. Number four, get organized. Get organized. I spend a lot of time helping people just to organize their finances. That means you virtually need to sit down and you need to write out some things about your finances. Some of you, you know, there are people in here, you don't know how much money you make. You need to sit down and write some things down about your income. Know how much you gross. Know how much you net. Know what those deductions are. Know how much you make in that net column, in that gross column, and know how much your spouse makes in that net column, in that gross column. Know how much it is and break it down into, some of you need to break it down to a weekly amount and then a monthly amount. Most of you pay your bills by the month, but you don't know how much money you make in a month. You say, but I know how much my W-2 told me that I made, but you need to know the gross amount and the net amount, and it needs to be broken down into 1/12 of your annual income because you pay most of your bills by the month. Most of you pay your rent by the month and a car payment by the month, and you pay your energy bill by the month and your water bill by the month, but you've got to know how much you're making in a month, and you need to break it down. You need to know what your outgo is. What you're spending. How much do you spend on food? You say, I don't know. Then you need to find out. You say, well, it just changes all the time. You need to get it down to what we would call a budgeted amount. That's a specific amount where you say, this is what we spend on food. We don't spend any more. We don't spend any less. That's what we spend on food. If you don't get it down to knowing, then how do you know if you're overspending? How are you going to know if you've misused your money? So you need to organize it so you know how much money is coming in. You organize yourself so you know how much money is going out. You need to know how much money you're going to use for gasoline and how much money you're going to use for your rent or your mortgage. And you take, for instance, auto insurance. If you pay it once a year, you take the amount, you divide it by 12, that tells you how much you need to pay your monthly auto insurance, your tithe, your school bill, your credit cards, your savings. You ought to know those things. You see, the average person that's having financial struggles, they do not know how much they're making, they do not know how much they're spending, but they do know they're in trouble. And when people come and see me, we often just sit down and I say, let me help you organize this. You bring all your bills in and we're going to look at them and we're going to figure out how much do you owe Sears and we're going to figure out how much you're paying rent and how much you're paying auto insurance and how much you're spending on food. Then I require them to set some of those amounts if they've not set them. You need to know when your bills are due. You ought to know when that mortgage payment is due and know when your electric bill is due. And most of them are due just about the same time each time. You need to know the interest rates that you're paying, and you should be familiar with it. You ought to know that if you've got a Visa card, what the interest rate is. If you've got a MasterCard, what the interest rate is. What's the interest rate that you're paying on that auto loan? What's that interest rate that you're paying on your mortgage? You ought to know those things. Some of you are very, this is what I find. Probably 90% of the time in my financial counseling, there's enough money, it's just totally in disarray. It's disorganized because we just don't know. So you've got to get organized. Don't ignore these type things. Then once you get yourself organized, you need to stay familiar with it. Keep it organized. So here's what I've said so far this evening. Many money problems are actually character problems. Number two, Stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God all the time, but I'm highly recommending when the economy's tough that you really stay faithful to God. But number three, learn the difference between your wants and your needs and be willing to adjust yourself emotionally to where you'll accept that even some of the things you insist you have to have, since somebody else can do without it, maybe you could. Number four, get organized. Get the amount of money coming in organized in your thinking. Get the amount of money going out organized in your thinking. Number five, this is such a simple thing, but I'm recommending that you do not spend more than you make. You do not spend more than you make. And some of you say, come on, preacher, that's so simple. Why do people do it? Why do we have financial problems then? It is the most obvious, it's as obvious as the nose on the end of your face, but why do we do it? Now listen, if you're not going to spend more than you make, you've got to go back to point number four and get yourself organized, because you must know how much you're spending to accomplish this goal of not spending more than you make. Then you're going to have to know how much you're making so you don't spend more than you're making, which means you're going to have the amount that you're spending designated. So you've got to get it down to where there's some organization. Now, some of you say, well, that all just is confusing me. Fine. Ruin your reputation. Don't pay your bills. Ruin your credit. Make it so you lose your house and lose your car and have to pull your kids out of the Christian school and you get behind and you rob God and you ruin your life. Go ahead. Or work. See, it's basically a character problem. Not always. There are people that get into emergencies and they were not self-inflicted. But I'm just telling you, one of the big keys to your finances is you've got to get them organized. So, something that'll help you. Some of you that you're saying, where's it all going? Where's all my money going? I could recommend you do this. Get you a little notebook, a little log of paper, and write down every penny you spend. I'm talking about when you pull over and buy yourself a Reese cup and a Diet Pepsi, which they go very well together, of course, chocolate and Diet Pop. But write it down. Write it down. Write down that you stopped and paid $1.29 for a cup of coffee and $1.19 for a soda, and you bought a pack of gum and you ate out at McDonald's. Write it all down, every penny, and then you'll figure out where it's all going. We don't keep good records. Therefore, we find ourselves spending more than we make, but we can't figure out where it went. But remember, easy concept: don't spend more than you make. And get this. And I know this is, again, it is so obvious. But listen, if the amount you make is decreased, then the amount you spend has to decrease, folks. It has to. You say, Brother Owens, I was working at this place and I was making excellent money and I got laid off and I had to go to work somewhere else. Then you better be doing something fast with how much money you've been spending. You don't have as much anymore. You say, I'm waiting for my ship to come in. Your ship's going to sink, baby. You better get ready and get the adjustment made. Yeah, and I'm not trying to tell you, I don't want to depress you about your finances, but look, hey, when difficulties come and companies downsize a little bit here and there and they've got to back off and you're not getting the overtime that you used to get, which I say to you, you're better off not setting your finances up based on bonuses or overtime. As best as you can, and I know this will be difficult for you, you're better off really not setting your finances up on two incomes, but the one primary breadwinner, and let the other be a bonus. And I'm not here to debate that with you. I'm just trying to tell you, when the amount of money that you have been making decreases, you now must decrease the amount of money you're spending, because you cannot spend more than you make unless you want a financial mess on your hands. Again, number one. Many money problems, not all, but many money problems are actually character problems. Number two, be faithful to God. Number three, learn the difference between wants and needs. Number four, get yourself organized in regard to knowing your income and knowing your outgo. Number five, don't spend more than you make. Number six, I'm gonna give you an opinion now. Some of you will like it, some of you will not like it, but I'm going to give it to you. I think that internet shopping can be very dangerous. I'm going to tell you why. It's too convenient for people that can't control themselves. Yeah, there's some people that shop when they're depressed, try to get rid of the depression. And that's okay if you're shopping on my internet site. because you helped me get out of my depression too by you spending your money and giving it to me. But I'm just telling you, internet shopping can be dangerous to people. Why? Because it is so convenient. Now, I think then on the flip side, shopping on the internet could be very good for somebody that's got some character and self-control. They didn't have to spend gasoline to drive somewhere and get a product. Fine. But many people can't control themselves. So I'm not against it. I'm against the people that can't control themselves. The home shopping network, if you're not careful at 2 in the morning, you're going to be buying stuff. Really, at 2 in the morning, it might be wise that you're sleeping and counting sheep. But just let me warn you, the more convenient something is for you to purchase, if you can sit in your pajamas and spend money at the convenience of your own home, we may be in trouble if you're not careful. So, be careful. Shopping, that it, the more convenient the shopping is, the more dangerous it can be. Let me go on. Number 7. During the good times financially, be wise because the bad times will probably return. I said during the good times financially, be wise because the bad times will return. Have you heard that old saying, save money for a rainy day? See, you need to plan for future setbacks. They're almost for sure. It's like this. Let's say that you own a mobile home and you heat with heating oil. And you're as excited as you can be because you don't need to turn your heat on right now. And you're going to have many, many months where you don't use heating oil. Could I recommend to you that in the months when you don't need heating oil, that you're preparing financially for the months when you will need heating oil? Because the cold will come again. The Bible best teaches it by saying, why don't you go to the ant? Because the ant in the harvest time gathers so that when the non-harvest time is here, there is ample supply. So the ant's got some good sense about it. So I'm merely saying to you, during the good times financially, be wise because the bad times will return. Businessmen, things may be hot and successful for your business today. But just so you know, slumps do come. Slumps don't have to destroy businesses. But let the good times then carry you through the bad times and your business can continue. Everything goes through waves. Everything goes through waves. Up and down. Up and down. Up and down. It's what I would call poverty, riches, poverty, riches, poverty, riches. Everybody here goes through some of that. You feel like, well, it's going really rough, and then it gets a little better. Then it goes really rough, and then it gets a little better. And it really doesn't matter at what level of income you're at. You go through that fluctuation. It gets better, it gets worse. It gets better, it gets worse. And that's a natural thing. So make sure that when it's better, you've not forgotten it could get worse. And I'm planning for the worse. I'm going to get an average that I can live by. So, I said number 7, during the good times, financially be wise because the bad times will return. Number 8, don't allow your, and here's something, if I could just get you to be able to do it, it would help you. Don't allow your next raise in income to be a part of your spending. I'm going to show you how you could finally save some money. I said don't allow your next raise in income to become a part of your spending. Save it. Learn to live at your current income level. Let me describe this for you. Let's say you make $15 an hour. Then learn to live off of $15 an hour. And then when you get a raise to $16 an hour, continue to live off of $15 an hour. Take the extra dollar an hour and save it or invest it for your future. You see, our quality of living does not have to increase because our income increased. We just naturally think, huh, I got a raise, bigger house, bigger car, spend more money. What would happen if you said, I'll keep my house, I'll keep my car, won't spend more money, I'll save some. There's some of you, you're making twice what you used to make. And had when you were, hey, there's somebody in here that's making $20 an hour that used to make $10 an hour. And back when you were $10 an hour, you could have never dreamed making $20 an hour. And you would have said, I never know what I'd do with all that money. Now you're there. And you know what to do with it all. But you may have been able to live at $15 an hour. You may have been able to continue to live at $10 an hour. Somehow we have ourselves convinced if I get a raise, it needs to be spent. It's all got to be spoken for. And that's not necessarily true. So if you get an increase in your income, why don't you decide to continue to live at your current budget and take the increase and use the increase to set it aside for savings, put it aside for retirement, put it aside for the rainy day. Let's go on. It sounds like you're really excited about that one. Number 9, there are 2 basic ways to fix financial problems. Now listen to me. I've got some financial magazines. Here's one called Kiplinger's Financial Task Made Easy, 5 Steps to a Bigger Paycheck, The Perfect Stock. Here's another one, The Lives of the Rich and Blue Collar Billionaires. Here's one that's called Money Magazine, and this last one was Forbes Magazine, and this one has an article in it, The Safest Investments, Smart Experts. Here's the Wall Street Journal magazine, 7 Steps to Financial Freedom. Here's People Magazine talking about the millionaire teenagers from the rock and roll and Hollywood culture. Can I tell you something? You can read every one of these books. You can memorize every one of these books if you would like to. You can go to every financial guru that you want to go to. You can go to every seminar you want to go to. You can read every book that you want to read. You can buy every self-help package in the world. Again, you can read all of these magazines, but there's really only a couple things that you need to do if you have a financial problem. Say, what is it? Well, you're either going to have to increase your income or decrease your outgo, and now I've just saved you thousands of dollars getting counseling advice. Because if you have financial difficulty, you either have to have more money or spend less money. Do you understand? And so we almost make it more difficult than what it really is. You increase your income or you decrease your outgo. Or you do both. Now, here's where I start, and this is where I help people start. The first thing we do is we look at decreasing their outgo, what they're spending. That's where we go back to me trying to graciously and kindly help them to determine the difference between wants and needs. And we look at everything they're spending to see, you know, to say, you know, well, this package of what's those TV things that you can buy that you, oh, well, nobody's dare going to help me now. I know. I'm up here by myself. Some people have these packages for getting television for 5,000 channels, and your TV is scratch and sniff and everything else, and you know, you pay $200 a month, and you know, you just got to have it. And every once in a while, I need to say to someone, you know, are you able to watch all 5,000 channels, and do you speak Japanese, and, you know, but this where I'm saying there's 2 things we've got to do. We've got to increase income or decrease outgo. The first thing we'll do is we'll look at decreasing our outgo. And, you know, any of you can take what I'm teaching you, and it will help you financially. So now I've got to decrease the outgo. So we sat down and looked at the outgo. We noticed we started writing down where some of our money was going, and we were just buying coffee at 3 cups a day at $1.50 each, and we multiplied that times 7 days a week and figured out we might be able to make it at home a little cheaper. We started looking at how many candy bars we were buying and some of the things that we didn't need but we just merely wanted them, and we start removing the unnecessary spending. We trim the fat. We remove the wants. We cut that out. Now once we've done that, we've got to look again. Is my outgo and my income equal? Or is my income a little higher than my outgo? But anytime the outgo is higher than the income, we've got a problem. Now, if I can't figure out how to get rid of any more the outgo problem, then I'm probably going to have to try to figure out a way to increase my income. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, you rob a bank. But remember, you should tithe. Now we've got to figure out if we can increase our income. Working hard at work sometimes merits raises. Sometimes it takes part-time work. But folks, I wish I could not solve every individual's financial problem this evening, but I can tell you this. Again, you can go to any seminar you want. But bottom line is you've either got to figure out a way to get more money coming in or less money going out or both, they've got to be equal, or the income has to be higher than the outgo, or you have a financial problem. It's got to be solved. Let me go on, and I'm not too far from being finished. Number 10, don't abuse your grace periods in your payment plans. Pay your bills early or on time. I hope you know this, but if it's due on the 1st, then it is late after the 1st. You say, but there's no penalty for 10 days. Penalty has nothing to do with late. Some of you think that because the penalty doesn't come until the 10th when it was due on the 1st, that you could pay it on the 9th or 10th and you've done right. No, you're late. You're late. You're late. If you pay on the 1st, let me mention this. If you say, Brother Owens, I get paid on the 1st, and my mortgage payment is due on the 1st, and I'm at work all day long on the 1st, and I don't get off in time to go pay it on the 1st, but I've got to have that check to pay it, then this is what I do. I go see my bank and ask if my payment could be due on the 2nd or the 3rd. I'd figure out a way to pay it on time. Or you're going to need to get your payment bumped back far enough. So let's say you get paid on the 1st and the 15th, and you're struggling getting it paid on the 1st with the check of the 1st, then you need to start paying it a couple weeks early. You better figure out a way to push the whole financial package back to where you're making your mortgage payment on the check of the 15th. But if you pay on the 2nd and it was due on the 1st, you're late. And your integrity is in jeopardy. Grace periods are for rare emergencies, not routine payments. I need some of you been around a while to say amen right there, because it's obvious the younger generation doesn't understand this. You're supposed to be on time. That's a character issue. It's a character issue. And here's what I know, and I wouldn't embarrass one single soul here, but here's what I know. 90% of the counseling that I do about finances, the money's there. It's just disorganized. The character's not applied. We're not thinking. We're wasting. But the money's there to survive. This is not a third world country. It is not. Far from it. You can do it. And I'm trying to help you see some practical things about how to do it. Here's what I've said. Many money problems are actually character problems. Number 2, be faithful to God. Number 3, learn the difference between wants and needs. Number 4, get organized. Number 5, don't spend more than you make. Number 6, I'm saying convenient shopping can be dangerous shopping, things like the internet or the home shopping network. Number 7, during the good times, financially be wise, because the bad times will return. Number 8, don't allow your next raise in income to be spent or become a part of your outgo. Try to live at your current living level and save some. Number 9, there are 2 basic ways to fix financial problems, and that is to decrease the outgo or increase the income. Number 10, don't abuse payment grace periods. Number 11, this is so short, let me say to every young married couple here, you need to learn to be what I call a financial scrapper. You all know what a scrapper is? That's somebody that just gets in there and makes it happen. Young couples should not be trying to live a life of luxury. You should be living a life of financial limits. Be a scrapper, young couple. You've heard me say this in the last many years that I've been pastor here. You've heard me say it over and over again, but I just have to say it again. Young couples, you want everything that mom and dad have, but mom and dad worked on it and worked for it for 30, 40, and 50 years to get it. There are young couples that have more than what mom and dad would have ever dreamed of having. There are young couples here. You just have so much. I'm just trying to convince you. Young couples need to be financial scrappers. Don't try to live a life of luxury. Live a life of limits. You're better off planning on enjoying life later. You can enjoy life later if you'll be a scrapper young. Be a scrapper young, enjoy life later. I'm telling you, it's the best way to do it. Some of you are enjoying the luxury of life young, and you're not going to like having to be a scrapper later. Because when you're older and you're tired, you're not going to want to be a scrapper then. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Work now. Work hard now. Do without now. Pay the price now. Be a scrapper while you're young. Later on, you're going to have a few bucks in your pocket, and you'll be able to go out and have some of that lobster, and you'll be able to have that house paid off, and you'll have some of those things. But some of you, you want it now. But that's just like our generation. Give it to me now. I'll pay for it later. Why don't you pay for it now and let them give it to you later? And so, if you look at Proverbs 22, verse number 1, 2, 3, and 4, the Lord's saying to us, it's more important that we have integrity, that we have character, that we have good reputations, that we have riches. Nothing wrong with riches. Hey, and before you pass judgment on somebody that's got some money, you might want to just check to see how hard they work to get it. The ones that probably have money that you rub shoulders with are the ones that have done the kind of things that I've just taught. They were scrappers while they were young. They worked hard. They paid their bills. They paid the price. And later in life, they get to enjoy it. And I think they deserve to enjoy it. I mean, they paved the way. They did what was right. And so, therefore, God blessed them for it. And that's right. And so, just a little financial advice. Remember, don't panic. Don't panic. Be faithful. Get a plan. Get yourself organized. And God will help you with your finances. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.